Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Corran. Delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Craig Swan. Guys, how are you?
Not bad, chaps. How are we? You all right?
Good, good. Out and about, working. Long day in Aberdeen yesterday.
Swan, are you still in the car coming back to Aberdeen now?
Yeah, just about, yeah. Time it took me at the chip shop in Stonehaven.
Well, out of that, you've got a part-time gig as an Uber driver.
Never say never.
I think Pittodrie is obviously the best place to start with yourself, Swanee. Celtic 2 wins out of 2. I thought, generally speaking, it was a really entertaining game, a really good game. But do you think Brendan Rodgers will have been happy with the side's performance?
Probably from where he wants to get Celtic to, no. But in terms of the stage they're at right now, yes. If that makes sense. I mean, it's early days. The building process is still taking place. We've heard various players speak about a transition in style from the Ange Postecoglou days. There's going to be tweaks, there's going to be changes, positional changes for certain players, the way things are done. These things take time. It doesn't just flow immediately. I think there was a terrific atmosphere in Aberdeen yesterday. The home fans really turned out. Aberdeen really had a go. They had plenty of threat themselves. There was a lot for Aberdeen fans to be excited about. For the season ahead, they've still got more players to come in as well. They were a threat. They put Celtic under pressure. But Celtic made chances and in the end won the game relatively comfortably. I mean, there's always scoreline pressure in a game. From a Celtic point of view, at 2-1, you're sense Aberdeen are in it. But for anybody who didn't see the full game, I know this isn't a guide, but you know, it's one of them where you watch the highlights back afterwards. Celtic have created 3, 4, 5 chances in the second half. They could easily have scored 4 or 5 goals.
Yeah.
So, would he be happy if that performance was in February, for example, when everything should be up and running? Probably not. But for the second league game of the season, he'd have every right to be happy. That's a tough test, and not a lot of teams will win at Pittodrie this season. I think Aberdeen are a different animal this season under Barry Robson. We saw it at the tail end of last season. Their home form is strong. They look like they'll be strong again. That was a terrific 3 points for Celtic yesterday.
I mean, Mick, outside of Ibrox, it's probably the hardest place to go at the minute in the Premiership.
Yeah, and I think it's an impressive victory in the context of where Celtic are right now, because there's a lot going on with this Celtic squad at the moment. They're trying to adjust to a new system, a new way of playing. They've also got an awful lot of injury problems. I mean, they're missing Arthur Johnson. Cameron Carter-Vickers is coming back, but he's obviously going to get a few niggles along the way as he builds back from a long-term injury. There's Rio Hotati, who came off after, 20-odd minutes after coming off the bench. His situation is a bit up in the air. There's an O is out long-term. New signings like Telio is not going to be seen for a good few weeks. Mickey Johnson, who we don't know about for another few months as well. There's Carol Starfelt's left. Jota's left. Aaron Moy's left. There's a lot of things happening right now at Celtic. So they're very much a kind of, I'm not saying it has a patchwork set up just now, but we're not really seeing what Celtic are going to be yet, because I think the next few weeks are going to be absolutely crucial in terms of where this side goes. As it stands, they're kind of mending and making do. I think they need to make signings. I think that obviously you've got the Swedish defender on the way, who sounds like a real player. You've got Navroski, who looked really good so far. He's coming again, trying to find his feet in this defence with Starfelt leaving. So there's a lot going on, and they're still winning. They've won two games out of two. Not really been that convincing in terms of where they've been the last couple of seasons, but got great results. It's a bit ominous for the rest, really. You think Celtic have won two games, scored seven goals, and haven't they really kicked a ball yet, to be honest?
No. And see, just what you mentioned them before, but just to get your guys' take on Carroll Starfelt leaving, because I thought he was a really influential player for Celtic, really important. Kind of went under the radar a bit next to Carter Vickers. And for me, I mean, it's been reported €4 million or somewhere in that region. I thought he was worth a bit more than that in the current market. 2 years in his deal, Sweden international. What do you think?
Possibly. Obviously, there was a situation that seemed to develop that the both parties wanted to get the move done pretty quickly. And certainly, Starfelt did. Listen, Celtic paid £4 million for him. They got two seasons. They got five trophies out of six. And they got their money back. I can understand what you're saying. Could they have squeezed five, six? Maybe. But really, they got 2 years out of a guy. And as I say, five trophies out of six, they got their money back. I'd say that's not too bad.
When you put it that way, But yeah. Mick, you mentioned, I think it was Gustav, I think I'm saying his name right, Lagerbilk, who, from what we understand, is on the way.
Yeah, that'll be done and dusted the next couple of days. By all accounts, everyone you speak to over there thinks he's a right good prospect. I mean, really good player just now, but a top prospect. What I think with that one is you've now got, you need three or four good centre-halves. That'll take back up to three. And I think also that looks like, you look at Narowski as well, you've got a bit of insurance policy that they can now go ahead and perhaps sell Carter Vickers next summer for big money. Because I think that's got to be the long-term plan. Again, he's done 2 years, another year to go. You think cash in, get a right good few quid, and you've got two guys there who are young, kind of hungry centre-halves, who then can do another couple of seasons and they get sold. That's the model. So that looks like a good bit of business. Interesting to see who plays on a weekly basis in the short term. Might see three at the back in Europe, I think. I don't know. Perhaps. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. But I still think Celtic are a bit short. I think the talk is taking these phrases that I hate, right? Things like taking the club to the next level, making an impact in Europe. I mean, it's like David Brent presentation stuff, isn't it? This is just words, right? What does it actually mean? It means getting better players. So at the moment, Celtic, have they got better players than they had last season? No, they haven't. Because I think even back to January, and you look at the players that left, Jackie Marcus, Juranovic left in January. They were top players. I think Alistair Johnson's been great, but is he Juranovic level yet? Don't know. Come in for Jackie Marcus. Is he at that level yet? Arguably not. Then you look at Jota leaving. Starfelt, I think, yeah, take the money and run. I mean, he's done a decent enough job, but I don't think he's anything special, to be honest with you. A bit of a bomb skit at times. Impressive as on games, he gets a bit flaky. I think they've upgraded to the
team. Michael Shirley, a bit harsh.
He's away. I don't think Brendan Rodgers fans to him either, to be honest with you. I mean, it's nice to say, listen, oh, he's got other things, he's chasing his misses and all that stuff. He's peace. I'm not having that. I think they've upgraded with the two guys that have come in on Starfelt, so that's a good bit of business. But you look at in general, I think that the terms of this taking to the next level and making an impact in Europe, they're not there yet. So the next few weeks, it's checkbook time. There's plenty of money in the bank. They need to go out and get. They're not going to go and get a Premier League type player on £25 million or £100,000 a week, but they need to go and get a right good prospect that costs money that can be then polished up and sold for mega money. A la Jota, Carter Vickers, Rio Tati, these guys. That's the kind they need to go and get. They need to go and get some guys who have got real star quality. Maybe not star names as yet, but real star quality, and they can get that team and make them better. They're fine just now, and I still think Celtic have more than enough to deal with the weekly battles in the Scottish Premier League. Keep playing the way they're playing now, and I think they'll come a cropper at some point, but they do need to bolster the team. If they want to do this kind of next level stuff, they need to get into action in the next few weeks. But I think they will, to be honest with you. I do think they will.
And would you see it, or either of you see it as a direct replacement for Jota, that kind of wide attacker? And on that, I thought Yang looked really good at the weekend. He's really fast feet. Got his first assist, obviously. I think he looks really promising. But this kind of new signing, is it really just an attacker, or you know, the centre-half's coming?
I would have thought that my own personal opinion was I would have thought another striker's needed. I think at the moment there's only two out and out, although Michael was in Japan and did see Dyson Maeda used through the middle to good effect by all accounts. Michael saw those games in person. I didn't see them, so wouldn't want to comment too much in a game that you haven't seen yourself. You're only watching on the telly, you don't get a true reflection. So that would make it three, say two and a half. But I would have thought another one would be a possibility. I definitely think there'll be something needed in the middle of the park. The wide area is interesting. I guess it would. You would automatically think that Jota would be replaced, but with a signing, but will depend what Brendan Rodgers thinks of Yang and how good he thinks he is and how good he thinks he can be. Leila Bada's obviously been given a good confidence boost and told he'll play. Maida's going to play quite a lot, so that's three if you count Yang. So maybe another one. I still think maybe it's interesting, the fullback positions, left back. You know, Greg Taylor was outstanding. I mean, Greg Taylor's performances last season were magnificent. It's a very, very high bar to match again this season. And, you know, Alexandro Bernabeu got some nice words from Brendan yesterday and it's all forgotten and blah, blah, blah. But I'm not sure he did himself any favours with that. So I still think there might be something that could be done there. But, yeah, I agree with Mick. I think now the stage of the window it's at, Celtic are now dealing in, if you want to use a phrase, proper players. You're now getting into the last 2 weeks of the transfer window, proper players that are starting to move. The English market's really starting to move now, the European market. I think the ones they might be looking at are going to be good ones, and they're the type of ones you need to wait for. You're not going to get them in the middle of June. And then, as we spoke about in a podcast before, you don't then get them at the start of August or the end of July. So if you're a selling club, why are you selling them then? You don't want to sell them then. If you've got an £8 million midfield player with 2 weeks to go in the window, you're going to be touting them around every club in Europe to try and get that to 10, 12, 14. That's just what happens. Mm-hmm. So I think Celtic fans should be encouraged rather than deflated by the fact that they haven't had a mega signing yet, because I think that means, I almost think the longer it goes, the better it might be. I could be wrong, but that's just a gut feeling.
I think what we're starting to really see now is that this, I think there was an assumption when Rodgers came in, it was a guy picking up the reins and just maintaining the level of dominance and play and stuff. But listen, anyone watching last season and listening to the previous manager knew that this summer was going to be a big change. And I still think it will be a big change. I think Hatate could quite easily go. I think Leila Bada's an interesting one. I assumed he was going to go. Ellen, someone now, he could stay, but it depends on what bids come in. Everyone's going to be sweating on, I know Kyle was saying a new deal, but if he keeps playing the way he's playing, somebody's going to panic and try and put in a bid for him late in the window. So all of a sudden, it's not a maintenance job. It's a bit of a rebuild. And this is what Andrew Postecoglou was hinting at all last year. He saw that his team coming to the end of the two-year cycle and having to regenerate. Just so happened he had to regenerate the manager as well. But now Rodgers coming in, and then he will get the chance to regenerate this squad, and it's starting to happen. You'll see guys starting to fade away. We've seen people who haven't really kept on in pre-season. Guys like Haksa Vanovic promised a lot last season, some nice cameos, not kicked on in pre-season, not taking a chance, really. The Tati one, the Maeda one's interesting. Rodgers, I think, sees him as a front man through the middle, rather than a wide man. But with O out, you can't have him doing both. He can't play 60 minutes at the flank, up and down that flank, chasing and harassing folk left, right, and then going through the middle when Kyle goes knackered. So that does mean that perhaps a striker has got to be looked at as well. He can't do both, especially on the back of playing solid football for about 2.5 years. At some point, he's going to be needing a rest as well. So the job is bigger than maybe some people would kind of realise. But it was hinted at for the last kind of 6 months or 12 months even, so it's no surprise that people have been watching them closely. But again, I get back to the point, this next few weeks is going to be really, really interesting in terms of incomes and outgoings.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think as well, what could be tempting if you're a player maybe considering Celtic, the Champions League draw, which is still, I think it's on the 31st of August, which is the Friday, and I think the transfer window shuts on the Monday. So I think I'm writing that anyway. I think it's the 2nd of September, 3rd of September. If you're a player, Celtic get a big draw, that could be a really exciting pool. You know, Celtic for a seat, maybe it's on loan or something like that. That could really draw
you. You would like to think the club with the ducks in a row a bit sharper than that. wait for on Thursday night to try and get a player in for Sunday.
Who wants to play Real Madrid?
these deals take time.
Yeah,
maybe that would be a wee bit tight now.
I think the numbers on the paycheck matter more than the numbers on the balls coming out the hat, to be honest with you. Call me a cynic, but I think that tends to be the defining factor.
I'm even more of a cynic, Michael. I often think this. Listen, I could be talking utter nonsense, but I think this Champions League thing's a bit overblown, don't you? In the sense of, I'm going to go and sign for a club somewhere so that I can basically get 6 games in the Champions League.
And you could be injured for one or two.
I'll forfeit the remainder of my entire season going to small places just so that I can 6 games where we're likely to be chasing the ball for the majority of the time in those games. Listen, I can see both sides of it. If you go into the Champions League and you play well, you get a move. Listen, if you're Jota, for example, Jota missed quite a lot of Champions League football last year due to injury. But the games he played, I mean, he was brilliant at Leipzig and scored a great goal. He scored a wonder free kick in the Bernabeu. And next thing, he's got a 25 million move to Saudi Arabia. So maybe I'm talking rubbish. Maybe it is a Champions League where you get your big...
No, well, actually, sorry, the point you're making is actually by accident, is that if the Champions League marked that much, these guys wouldn't be going to Saudi Arabia. I mean they're clearly not caring about it. Clearly not caring about Champions League when they're making 200 grand a week.
Yeah, that's
and above. So it's all right talking about the Premier League or La Liga or whatever it is and all that stuff, but it's money talks. Don't get me wrong. Listen, if you're a guy like the Jota signing 2 years ago was a perfect signing for Celtic. That is the model working perfectly. You get a guy who's at Benfica B, his metrics are off the chart, looks like a real prospect, they get him on loan for a season, which is great business anyway, with a guaranteed buyout at the end of it. So he has an absolutely brilliant season. He should have cost double what he cost after that 12 months. They get him for a song, and then they sell him for fortunes. That is the model working absolutely perfectly, and that's what they should be looking at in the next year. Well, that's what they are looking at just now, let's be honest. If you're on earth, someone who makes an impact like that, they'll want to watch. But that's the trick. Keep them doing that all the time. It's no easy, but that's what they need to try and aim to be doing.
I've got to say, Mirko, it's probably, there's no point in looking back to the past. Jota's gone now, but wasn't that the best piece of scouting that there's been in God knows how long? You find a guy in Benfica's B team to get you 25 million quid in 2 years. I know the Saudi money comes in here and the transfer fee probably wouldn't have been as much as that if it wasn't anywhere else, but even just to find him, where he was playing, tremendous.
Exactly, but it, I mean, the Saudi, forget where he went. And even the cost, Odson Edward, 20 million, Moussa Dembele, 20 million, Christopher Adler, 16 million. The market's there. England, I was laughing, English football, going like, oh, the Saudi League are ruining football and all that stuff. Like, what have you been doing for the last 20 years?
English Premier League started that in 1995. There has been some great hypocrisy there. Holland. They crushed Serie A. Well, I think they kind of cope with them. They took all the players from the Bundesliga. They ruined that league for a bit. And now they're suffering some of their own medicine. They're whining about it.
Listen, I'm watching fullbacks that can't kick their own backside getting 80 grand a week in England. So don't give us peace with that talk.
Yeah. You'd get 40 grand a week as a keeper, Mike, or Fulham, maybe.
Oh, that's the thing. It's still time, sorry. I'm only 44. Listen, Buffon managed to do it at 44.
That's true.
I'm more Buffy than Buffon, unfortunately.
We should say, actually, talking about keepers. Joe Hart yesterday, he did have a moment, a little bit of a scare. I think it was Miovski that he clattered into. Turned out he was offside and it wouldn't have mattered.
Esther Sokla.
Oh, was it? Sorry. See, that's why Swan is here.
You're the host, Daniel. Come on now.
Keep me right. Do you think it's a position that Celtic have been linked with improving in the summer? Do you think that will be in Rodgers' radar at all?
I think it will be, but that's not necessarily a slight on Joe Hart, if that makes sense, because Joe Hart's reaching an age now where he's going to become, well, he's already is in the twilight of his career. You have to be looking on. Scott Bain's not going to be the number one. I think that's pretty much established by all, that's not going to happen. Ben Seagrass, for whatever reason last year, whether he didn't impress enough, whether Ange Postecoglou thought Joe Hart was so integral he couldn't get a game. But you almost feel that the ship has sailed for him now. I think when a guy comes in and they're there for so long and they don't play, it's very unlikely that they'll get going in the end. So I think it would be, but if it is, I don't think that necessarily is a slight on Joe Hart. I think it's maybe just a natural progression. You have to have some succession planning. I did think Benjamin Seagrass was the succession planning, but that was an old manager. So I would imagine Brendan Rodgers may have an idea for something else. I mean, Joe Hart has been... There was a feeling towards the end of last season, people started to pick up on one or two errors and one or two mistakes and one or two things and started to read into it and think maybe the time's coming. And then obviously had a couple of moments in pre-season. And again, it's been picked up on the pass back. I mean, Tony Ralston's pass back in the Ross County game now. Don't get me wrong, Joe Hart's going to be trying to kill it on his chest in his own box, but he wasn't exactly helped there. I thought he was really good yesterday. And I thought he did something yesterday that he's been guilty of not doing in the past. When Celtic have been under pressure, cross balls getting bombarded, he came and he punched and he cleared and he took a lot of pressure off the back line at times. There was one or two guys at the stadium yesterday at the match, actually, who were a wee bit critical at the goal. I must admit, I didn't catch it at first, but when I kind of thought about it again, maybe where Duke crossed that ball from. If you think about where Duke actually crosses the ball from Majoski, it's literally 2 yards from Joe Hart's byline. So he should really have been claiming that and bailing Cameron Carter-Vickers out. However, apart from that, this is what happens in these situations. When people start to have a concern or start to look into a goalkeeper, they pick on everything. They don't look at the good things. They pick on the couple of wee errors that happened in the game. As a more of them creep man, that's up for debate. For me, he's probably making the same wee errors that he was making in every game last year. Only people are prepared to look past it because, oh, it's Joe Hart, he's doing great. But now the narrative's changed a wee bit. Goes back a wee bit to what Michael was saying about Carl Starfelt. Carl Starfelt had a howler in his first game against Hearts. People never really forgave him for it. They were always looking for the mistake rather than the good things that he did.
There was a few, so
I am famous. There was a few, I'm not denying there was a few, but there was also a lot of top-class performances in there.
Yeah, you know, he had some...
When Postecoglou won his first title, he sang to have performance at Ibrox. It was sensational in that last game. His performance in the Cup semi-final.
I mean,
He also
had 20 minutes in that game where he could cost the match at Ibrox. He did an absolute wobble for 20 minutes and he's all over the camp.
Are we talking about the same game? Are we?
The new year.
No, I was in
major wobble.
Probably the game is 1-2-1 at the end of Postecoglou's first season.
Anyway, he's gone anyway, but talking about Joe Hart.
Yeah.
I'd agree with you, Swan. I think people are looking for things that he's done wrong. And that one, see the goal in Sunday. You say, oh, he should have come out and dealt with that ball, he could race out. Guy's 36 years old. It's a bit like the goal that Alan McGregor lost to Celtic last season with the back pass to John Souter. People are, how come he's not managed to make that? He's a bit of a 20-yard start on Jota.
Yeah.
Because he's 40.
Yeah.
Joe Hart didn't get to that ball because he's 36. He knows himself, I'm not beating Duke in a leg race. Carter-Vickers actually made a bit of a mistake with that one. I thought he's...
Yeah. It wasn't me personally. It was one or two guys running. I just think the way the ball was flighted over, I thought Joe Hart thought Carter-Vickers was in control of the situation. And by the time he realised Carter-Vickers wasn't in control of the situation, it was too late to come for it.
Yeah.
Was it also, trying to make to people? So you can't come for it then once Carter-Vickers has missed it. It's too late then.
He also knows in that split second as well, like, well, I can't get involved in a leg race here because I'm not going to make it. And it's penalty kick. It's a penalty kick. You take your chances, get your position and hope he doesn't get put a good ball in, which he did. So that's what you just accept that. You can't blame somebody for being 36.
I thought he was good yesterday, Joe Hart. I thought he did a lot of good. Especially patchwork. You used that word earlier. I mean, it did end up a patchwork defence in the end. And they were under pressure. And Stephen Welsh did well when he came on. You know, they did well with some high balls. Ralston fought, Taylor fought, but Joe Hart helped him a lot by claiming a lot, clearing a lot, punching, catching. Thought he did well yesterday.
I thought he was good as well. I don't think there's a big enough problem there. I think long term, yeah, I agree with you. They'll need to look long term. Finding a good top goalkeeper long term is not easy either. I actually like the look
You've got to know the timing, don't you, Michael? I mean, you just mentioned Alan McGregor. Rangers stuck too long for Alan McGregor. They kind of just kept going too long.
Yeah. A season too many. I like Kilroos at Aberdeen. I mean, Don's fans will be hunting me down for saying it, but I think Roos at Aberdeen's a good keeper.
Just falls into the Ben Seagrass category, though, doesn't it? You go and take maybe, before maybe. The top day comes in and doesn't play.
Maybe. I also think if he'd said back in January that Celtic would be going to August and again Pataudry, and they would have getting a result with a team that involved Tony Ralston, Stephen Welsh, James Forrest, David Turnbull, these kind of guys, you wouldn't have expected it back in January, which again, that shows how much they're having to patch up and what needs to be done in the next few weeks. They keep getting back to them.
Yeah, when you're right, that makes it the double-edged sword that we go back to Daniel's very first question.
Yeah.
It's not the performance that you would want because it's maybe not the team that you want, but given the circumstances, it was a cracking result.
Yeah.
Next up for Celtic, it's Kilmarnock in the League Cup on Sunday. Obviously, you fancy Celtic to win. They'll obviously be the favourites, but I don't think that'll be a particularly easy game. We all know about the pitch. And Kelly look vastly improved this season.
Kelly have been excellent this season. We've got a real stir about them. Derek McInnes has brought a few new players in. But last season just felt like a rush job in pre-season, trying to get everything sorted. There was loads of loans came in from down south, and it just was never right. They were never right last season, Kilmarnock. He's actually got a structure about the team. He's had time to get the new signings in, bed them in, good bit of experience in there. Guys like Stuart Finlay coming back. That's a massive signing for Kilmarnock, Stuart Finlay. Yeah. Scotland international under Steve Clarke when he was last at Kilmarnock, you know, top player for the Scottish Premier League. Recruited really well, good structure, strong. They'll be very similar to Aberdeen. Yeah. We're on Sunday. Very similar. Probably a bit less adventurous. Because I don't think, you know, Kilmarnock don't have a Duke and a Majowski. They've got Kel Vassell's carrying an injury, playing with sort of Marley Watkins. Michael obviously saw them on Sunday at Tynecastle. He'll have a better idea of the latest performance. But people saw what they did against Rangers at Rugby Park in the opening night of the Premiership season. They're solid. Rangers didn't give them much to think about. That's the difference. And I think as much as Celtic are struggling with fluency at the moment, the front three are dynamite. They're so quick. Abada, Maeda, Kyogo. I mean, we saw the goals that were scored at Rugby Park last season. You know, Maeda getting down, pullbacks, Kyogo in the box. They can score a goal out of nothing, these guys. And that's the one thing that Celtic have got in their armoury that Rangers didn't have and Hearts didn't have at Tynecastle yesterday. They don't have that lethal pace that can get in behind. So it'll be a good game. Be a tight game, I would think. I don't think it'll be like the last time when Celtic four up after about half an hour or something the last time. I don't think that'll happen again, but I'm expecting a good tie.
And then there's Mick, sorry, on you go, Mick, sorry.
No, I was at Tynecastle yesterday and I was really impressed with Kilmarnock. I mean, they just look like a proper team now. I mean, I think last year again not patching it together. I mean, McInnes had to patch his squad together all season. This time they look like a real unit. The back division, that back three, Finlay, Robbie Dees, and Lewis Mayo, really, really good. A bit of quality, Matty Kennedy and Danny Armstrong, a bit of quality. Middle of the park, Brad Lyons and all that stuff. I mean, I just think they look like a right good team. I mean, they've actually now played Rangers and Hearts, the worst, I mean, the hardest start you can imagine in the league. And for 45 minutes against Rangers, second half, and then 90 minutes at Tynecastle, the goalie's not a save to make. Not a shot on goal between the two games. Just rock solid. And they're also kind of a wee bit of a threat. They could do a wee bit more of a threat, I think. If they're going to do an upset Celtic, they need a wee bit more of a goal threat. But then again, set pieces and all that stuff, they're really dangerous as well. Probably should be more dangerous than the amount they had at Tynecastle. But I think they'll cause a problem. I think it's the toughest tie Celtic could have got in terms of the seeding. It's a trip to Kilmarnock. This Kilmarnock team is the toughest clash they could have asked for at this point in time. So I don't think it's going to be a really uncomfortable afternoon, especially with the Celtic team in transition just now.
Not unfortunate for both of them, wasn't it? Celtic are the worst unseed they could have got, and Kilmarnock are the worst seed they could have got.
Well, the funny thing about Kilmarnock is, I think when the draw was made, they're all going, oh, you've got to be kidding us on here. What a nightmare. But I think, speaking to a few of them yesterday, they're thinking now, you know what, let's bring it on here. This is a big chance for them. Because getting Celtic just now is the time to get them. Because I think if you get them in a semi-final or final down the line, it may be a different ball game. But no, I think they'll fancy this. I think they will fancy it. They'll try and drag Celtic into their game. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. So I think it's potentially a really, really tricky tie for Celtic. So stick a fiver on 5-0.
Guys, I think that more or less brings us to the end of this week's Record Celtic podcast. Craig, Michael, as always, it's been a pleasure. And thanks very much for listening. Cheers.